because in every situation, we have our known knowns, our known unknowns, and our unknown unknowns. And the more you increase the presence of those from one to three in the order I just said, you know, the more known knowns you have, lower risk. The more known unknowns you have, okay, moderate risk. Then there's the unknown unknowns, and the more of those that may or may not be present, which can be perceived by the, you know, age of the asset or the risk of the note, you know, the more your risk goes up.
Biggest mistake, looking back, it really was in the beginning of my investing career where I was playing small. I was doing very small deals, and even though I did my homework, I did my due diligence, I still wasn't willing to bet on myself, on my abilities and skills. And so I was doing small deals, and I quickly realized that it's the same amount of work and effort and risk that it is to do a small deal as it is to do a much larger one. And if you surround yourself with the right people, the right advisors and support team around you, that's what makes the difference.
You're listening to the Real Estate Runway podcast, powered by Quattro Capital, where we are all about alternative business and investment strategies to help you amplify life and maximize wealth. Here's your host, the recovering engineer turned multifamily investor, Chad Sutton.
All right. Real Estate Runway family, welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Runway podcast. I'm joined here with my friend Fred Moskowitz. And before we get into this show, folks, if you get any value out of what we do here at Real Estate Runway or the show today, hit that share button, send it to someone you like, pay it forward, give us a 5-star review, like the show, just do something, interact with the show to show us you liked it. The algorithms will do the rest. And that's how we get to more people just like you. So we appreciate you, our wonderful audience, for doing that. Now let's get on to the show. Fred Moskowitz, welcome to the show, brother. How are you today?
Thank you, Chad. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. And I'm really excited because we don't get a lot of experts in note investing on this show. And so that's a little premonition. We're going to talk about note investing here in a few minutes. But first, we're going to go into who Fred is as an individual, how he came to be the investor he is today. So Fred, let's walk that road with you before we start playing with the strategy itself.
Yeah, thank you, Chad. I'll share a little bit about my background. It's been interesting for sure. I started out in life having a very successful career working as a computer engineer in the tech industry.
Oh, and we get to be nerds together. I was an engineer too, but in the mechanical aerospace. So there we go.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved the space, and it was during such an exciting time because from the beginning of my career, it was a roller coaster ride, and it was wild because I went through the dot-com boom back in the early 2000s, the dot-com boom followed by the bursting of the dot-com bubble, and we had the September 11th terrorist attacks. And so there was all this turmoil in the world, and what happened was I realized that I was way too dependent on the income for my job because all I had was my paycheck, my W-2 paycheck. And even though I loved the work I was doing, my job had all these circumstances that were completely out of my control. And what I ultimately learned was that no matter how talented of an engineer I was or how valuable of an employee I was, if things were not going well at the company, or if the company went under, I would quickly lose my job through no fault of my own. And so that made me come to the realization that it was super important to start to have other sources of income so that I wouldn't be so dependent on the paycheck for my job. And with that, I turned to alternative investing because I learned that alternative investments, it's all about buying and building assets. And when you own them, they generate cash flow and income for you. And that's what I wanted. I wanted that diversity. And so I started out real estate investing, building up a rental portfolio. And after a few years, I started to learn about note investing from different sources, mostly from the perspective of owner financing. But then I had the opportunity to buy existing notes on the secondary market from another investor. And so when I saw that, I recognized the opportunity and I got involved. And that's really what got me started. But what I loved was I quickly found that you're investing in something that's secured by an asset with tangible value. It generates cash flow and you could easily scale it up into something really big. So that became very appealing for me.
Yeah, that's super interesting, Fred, and so much to unpack there. We have a lot in common. I mean, you discover that, wow, you know, I'm a very good engineer, even if you're not, but you believe you are. You believe you're doing very well. You believe you're adding a lot of value to the company, but especially now that you run a fund and businesses and things of that sort, you recognize that, you know, it doesn't, if times are bad, you have to cut weight just to stay alive. And sometimes that means even good employees. And so it's an unfortunate truth that, you know, a salary is never guaranteed, right? It is, and it is just one income stream. So I don't want to belabor that point. Sorry, did you have something to add there, Fred?
No. It really is. It's just a realization that we come to at some point. Realize that
you redefine that, security.
yeah. That whole idea of being in a secure job. It's a fallacy.
That's right. So let's. I'm excited for this because I feel like we're going to spend a lot more time talking about the meat today than usual. Let's start with, you know, a lot of people on this show listening to this podcast are very familiar with using leverage. But let's talk about what is a note, what is note investing, and let's just start to walk with you on what we need to know about this strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is note investing? Note investing, it really is a niche area of real estate investing. It's still involved in the same asset class, but instead of owning the property and being on title as an owner, as a note investor, you get to be on title as a secured lien holder. You're a lender. And so that's what note investing is all about. It's about investing in the paper, the notes and mortgages associated with all the different kind of real estate that we can invest in. And it's a really interesting part of the real estate business, Chad. It really is. But most real estate investors, they don't pay any attention to it. And most people, when they think of a note in a mortgage, they think about it from the perspective of being the borrower and not as being the lender. But consider this, when you get involved in note investing, it allows you to step across the aisle and become the bank, because now what happens is you transition from being the one making the monthly payments to being the one receiving the monthly payments. And so that really, really gives you an increased predictability of your cash flow when you do that. And so I found that while real estate is great, I own a lot of it, but notes is a great way to round out any portfolio. And it can be a lot more passive as well. So that's a huge advantage.
So you mentioned the secondary market, and folks who have heard me talk on here, you know that there are many types of loans that are packaged up and sold on the secondary market. And that may or may not be the same thing we're going to talk about here. So let's define that.
So it is. Everyone's been through it. You go, let's say you go and buy a property or you refinance a property and you go to closing, you sign all the loan documents and you start making your monthly payments. Well, wouldn't you know it, within 2 months, 2 to 6 months, you get that letter from the lender saying, "Dear Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner, we're writing to advise you that your loan is being sold to the new lender. And here's their contact information. Here's their address. Don't worry. Your terms of your loan, your interest rate, everything stays the same. However, starting next month, please make your payment to the new lender. And if you think about this at its core, it's not that you did anything wrong. No, this is always the intent. The business model of a lot of loan originators is they originate the loan, then they sell it off. They may sell it off to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or it'll go into a Wall Street mortgage-backed security. It'll go into a portfolio product, and they recapitalize so that the very next day after they sold the loan, they can turn around and originate a new loan for someone else. That's the secondary market at work. And for us as investors, we're able to go to that those secondary markets and bid on pools of loans, whether it's 100 loans at a time or 5 or 10 or maybe 1 or 2. Maybe you're dealing with directly with another note investor. You can buy a single loan or two. Absolutely. And so there's a place for everyone in the marketplace.
So let's talk about the marketplace a little bit. So we get that loans are a lot of times packaged up and sold or just sold onesie twosie to whether it be Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or an individual or a mortgage-backed security. How does one individual, because like if I'm one individual and I'm thinking about learning about investing in notes, I'm probably not looking for a $100 million bucket of loans I can go buy for a discount. I'm looking for one loan. Right. And so how does one walk it? Like, first of all, where is this marketplace? Is it like a Walmart you walk into or how does that work? And what are you looking for? You know,
that's an interesting question. It really is this industry. It's all relationship based. So there's not one central marketplace unless you're buying directly from Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, where you can go on their website and see the bids, the loan pools being offered for sale every quarter. It's publicly disclosed, but those are huge, huge size trades. So for investors, we buy loans from other note investors. We buy notes from other note funds, hedge funds, smaller players. They're out there in every size, and it's all about building personal relationships. So how do you do that? You got to meet people. You got to meet other note investors at real estate organizations or going to investment conferences and events in the industry where people will gather together. And everything's done. A lot of deals through handshakes where you meet people, you build a relationship over time, develop a level of trust, and now you're able to bid on notes and buy notes. Now, another way, Chad, because that can be intimidating for a lot of people, or maybe that doesn't work. For a lot of investors, a great option to get involved in note investing is to be a passive investor in a note fund. And what is a note fund? It is, think of it like a real estate syndication where they raise capital and then they go out and acquire the assets, but it's done with notes. So a note fund, they'll raise capital and then go to the secondary market and buy notes. And the advantage there is that they're able to negotiate a better discount because buying in bulk volume, and the fund managers, they have those relationships in place already. So they have access to notes, they have the knowledge and skills to manage the portfolio, conduct the due diligence. And so for a lot of people, they like that because I find some investors, they want to be active and go and build a portfolio. Great, you can do that. But for someone that maybe doesn't have a lot of time or they're not comfortable because they don't have the knowledge and experience, they would rather be a passive investor and go with a note fund so that all of these other details, the due diligence, the relationships, the portfolio management, it's all handled for you. And so that could be a better fit. And, you know, Chad, there's no right or wrong answer. It really comes down to how much time do you have and what you want to focus on, like anything else.
That makes a lot of sense, Fred. And so I'm gonna develop this question for a second because it's a little more in-depth, right? And it's going to take you a little more to answer. But, you know, in real estate, we understand that you make your money when you buy, right? And so ideally, yes, you're looking for discount buys on real estate versus market value. And in a lot of cases, you will buy that piece of real estate, maybe add some value to it, or just hold it for a period of time. It will appreciate and you will sell it. And through cash flow and appreciation, that's how you effectively make your return. So now if we come and we draw a parallel to the note investing side, right? What is the strategy like that I'm trying to follow? And I guess most importantly, once a lender makes, let's say an originator originates a home loan and they sell it to Fannie Mae or to a bank or something, and that investor holds that note, what is the strategy that would compel them to want to sell it to you, right? So let's kind of, just like I just walked through real estate on how we make money in real estate, how does that life cycle work for a note?
The biggest reason, that's a great question, by the way, and notes are bought and sold every day. The biggest reason for that, it's for liquidity. It's because that investor, that fund, they need to sell off loans because they need to raise the capital they're buying into their next transaction. This is always what it comes down to. And if you think about it, they've been holding those notes maybe for a number of years, collecting the cash flow and benefited from that. And now they want to have their capital back to put it at highest and best use. And so they'll sell it. Notes are sold typically at a discount from the amount owed. So that drives the yield up even more. And so there's all these scenarios. Some of it happens to be timing. In particular, at the end of the year is a time where we see a lot of loans being traded, because maybe a fund is closing down and they need to get rid of liquidate all the assets, or preparing for another larger trade. And so it's all about liquidity. And the interesting thing about notes is they are very liquid. It's so you can sell a note within a couple of days and have the transaction closed and have your capital. So it's a lot quicker than trying to sell a property.
Yeah, with all the diligence and such that goes with it.
Yeah.
So, okay. So if I can kind of walk that example, let's just assume that there's a big Wall Street firm who has a $100 million package of notes. It's very big, right? And they have an opportunity because let's say it's 2009. They have an opportunity right now to perhaps buy $1 billion of loans at 30 cents on the dollar. So that's a situation where maybe they're like, okay, well, we had good loans over here in our $100 million bucket, but we need to go sell all those off and get this cash so we can go buy a deeper discount over here. But when they sell those loans off, perhaps the cash flow that those are selling off is still enticing to another investor at, say, 75 cents on the dollar, right?
Yep.
And so that's how the transaction kind of starts to happen, right? It's exactly. Perceived value.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
A lot of it comes down to the time value of money and liquidity at the exact moment it's needed.
Right.
The name of the game in note investing is to keep your capital deployed as close to 100% of the time as possible. And there's a bit of dynamics that happen between trades that come up. We have loans that get paid off all the time and you never know when that's going to happen. So there's an element of randomness there. So you constantly have capital coming in all the time. And so that's part of the challenge as note investors. You want to have all your capital deployed. And so you want to be constantly working through that and buying new loans, putting your money out on the street, as they say.
And common sense makes sense because, folks, when was the last time you consulted your lender or Fannie Mae before you sold your home, right? It just happens. And so that makes a lot of sense.
It does. And you never know when someone's going to refi or sell the property. If you think about it, Chad, the average lifespan of a residential mortgage loan in the United States it's 5 to 7 years. Even if it's a 15 or a 30-year mortgage, it's still 5 to 7 years. And why is that? It's because life happens. People need to move to change jobs or family situations, or maybe they're just refiing for one reason or another.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, Fred. And so let's get into, well, I'm going to start to dip my toe into the analytics of this a little bit. So let's go numbers. So to start it off, if I'm a note investor, let's say I've built some relationships. Maybe I have some banks, maybe I have some investment funds, some individuals who do private lending. I mean, there's all sorts of people you may build relationships with.
Yeah.
And I get presented an opportunity. What should I be looking for in that opportunity in terms of amount of discount, interest rate? Like what are the mechanics I need to be focusing on, or the knobs, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of factors that come into play here. The first of all is you want to know what's your risk tolerance and experience level. And the reason for that is if your risk tolerance is low and your experience level is low, then you're better off going with a safer note. It's super safe. It's covered with a decent equity position. The property's in a pristine location, desirable market. The borrower has a great track record. And so these are all different factors that come into play. And this will impact the pricing. A note like that, it's going to give you a lower rate of return, obviously. Now,
and so hold on, Fred. So to describe that note, that mm-hmm. note might be a mortgage that is 7 years old. The house has had 7 years to appreciate. So maybe it's effectively 25% loan to value. The borrower's never missed a payment. Is that kind of a low yeah. risk note? Okay.
Yes, exactly. And so we can go all the way down the scale. Notes will come up that have different problems. Maybe there is not a perfect payment history on the note. Maybe there's not a strong equity position covering the loan balance, or the property's located in an area that's a problematic real estate market, right? All of these different factors. What if there's a title issue that is impacting the lien on the property? Has nothing to do with the borrower. It's just a title issue that has to be dealt with. And so all of these factors, they'll impact the pricing on the note and the risk. And so these are all different problems. And for you as an investor, do you have the wherewithal to deal with that? Are you willing to take that on? And if you can fix some of those problems, you're actually going to be increasing the value of the note when you do that. And all along the way, you're still earning your cash flow, which is nice. And so I always say, start out with a low-risk note. And as you build experience, as you get better, you're going to be comfortable with taking on bigger and bigger risks or more problems, and you can handle those. This goes for any type of alternative investment, real estate, anything. It's the same idea. As you get more experienced, your comfort level with more complex deals and problems just goes up, and you can earn a higher profit. You're going to take on more risk. However, you have the skills to mitigate those risks as well.
Yeah. And so to draw parallels, guys, I mean, I talked about a low risk note, right? To draw that to a property, that might be a brand new build of whatever it is you like to invest in, right? It's going to have the lowest amount of things that can go wrong with it, the most new and current infrastructure, but it's probably going to yield you like a low single digit return because it's going to sell for top dollar. It's a coveted asset that is easy and low risk. Whereas to go to the other side of it, you know, Fred was talking about, okay, payment history issues. Maybe the loan to value is not so good. Maybe it's in a declining market, you know, where that's not going to get any better. And so you have to be able to fix those things. For example, let's talk about a decrepit Class D apartment building, right? That has a lot of infrastructure issues. It needs substantial strategic capital infusion, probably won't cash flow well. You know, the novice investor probably would not take on that risk, whereas someone who has done that before or worked up to that would have the wherewithal, the cash, and the ability to weather the unknowns of that situation. And so risk is, in my mind, Fred, risk is just the number of unknowns. Right. Because in every situation, we have our known knowns, our known unknowns, and our unknown unknowns. And the more you increase the presence of those from one to three in the order I just said, you know, the more known knowns you have, lower risk. The more known unknowns you have, okay, moderate risk. Then there's the unknown unknowns, and the more of those that may or may not be present, which can be perceived by the, you know, age of the asset or the risk of the note, you know, the more your risk goes up. So
yeah. That's well said.
So to take this, let's go a little further into the process, Fred. Mm-hmm. You know, in a real estate, and I'm going to qualify the level of detail I'm looking for by explaining it. In a real estate transaction, you know, let's just say a commercial real estate transaction, you may have a purchase and sale agreement and negotiation. You may have a financial contractual and legal due diligence period. I still cannot learn these emojis. It's cracking me up. And you may have a closing period where you have, you know, you get a loan and then you get, you know, the transfer of title, closing document, settlement statement. What does the transaction look like when you endeavor to purchase a note? You reach a handshake agreement. What happens next?
It's very, very much similar to what you described. You have a purchase and sale agreement that the buyer and seller sign. It's going to dictate a due diligence period where you as the buyer have access to all the loan documents, all the financial information about the borrower, about the loan, the property. You can review everything. And then there's a time frame dictated to fund the loan. Now, there's not going to be any financing in these trades. They're all cash. And so the purchase will be funded. And then after that, there's a period for the transfer of loan servicing. And what that means is loans are typically serviced by a licensed loan servicer. And they're the ones that sit at the front end of the loan, the borrower facing, and they handle all the admin. They collect the payments from the borrower. They take the phone calls. They keep track of the amortization schedule of the loan. And they do all of this. Think of it like, Chad, think of it like the same way a property manager manages a rental property. The loan servicer manages the loan on behalf of the lender.
Very clear.
So they're a crucial vendor in our world. And so there's going to be something that happens called a servicing transfer, where the seller's loan servicer does a handoff, clean handoff to the buyer's loan servicer. And so those things are all dictated in that agreement. And then there's a deadline to ship the original loan file to the buyer. And that's it. That's really it in a nutshell. Once you receive your loan documents as a buyer, then you will record the transfer documents on title in the county where the property is, so that you become now a lien holder of record for that mortgage, because it's assigned to you and there'll be an assignment document to memorialize that. And now that goes on public record, so that when a title search is run, they're going to see the mortgage, and then they're going to see all each of the assignees. And the title company knows who they need to talk to about getting the lien released when the property is going to be sold or refinanced.
Well, there you have it, folks. This has been about as much as we can cram into a 30-minute episode on note investing. So before we let Fred go, we're going to do a couple of our Quattro questions, and we're going to give him a chance to talk about some of the stuff he's doing in this world, maybe even his fund if he's open to it. So are you ready, Fred?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. First question, Fred, what is your superpower? And it could be life or business, but what is it and how does it serve you?
My superpower is the ability to break down complex ideas and concepts and explain them in a way that's easily digestible. I love teaching. I love sharing about about these concepts and ideas, and it's something that's very rewarding for me. And so that's my superpower. And as someone that speaks with a lot of investors and focuses on building relationships, that's an essential skill.
It is. And I think you just demonstrated quite a bit of that today. So we appreciate your superpower. And pivoting to the other side of the coin, what is your biggest mistake or failure? And again, life or business, but most importantly, what did you learn from it?
Biggest mistake, looking back, it really was in the beginning of my investing career where I was playing small. I was doing very small deals, and even though I did my homework, I did my due diligence, I still wasn't willing to bet on myself, on my abilities and skills. And so I was doing small deals, and I quickly realized that it's the same amount of work and effort and risk that it is to do a small deal as it is to do a much larger one. And if you surround yourself with the right people, the right advisors and support team around you, that's what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference. And so you never, don't be shy about asking for help. Focus on building a good network around you and then ask for help when you need it.
I love that, Fred. That's totally true. And so going to question number three, shameless plug moment, man. So tell me about anything you're doing, you know, book, podcast, free gift, maybe talk about your fund. Like, just tell me about what you're doing out there to do good in the world.
Thank you. Yes, I have published a great book about note investing. It's titled The Little Green Book of Note Investing. You can find it on Amazon. And what it is, it's a great high-level overview, introductory overview about note investing, the note business, how to get involved, how to analyze notes. And it's great for anyone that wants to learn more about this industry, whether you're looking at investing in a note fund and deciding about that, or building a portfolio of notes. We cover both areas in detail, and it's a great way to get started. And also, I have a free offer, free gift for anyone that's interested. I have a special report about note investing that I would love to send to you. Just visit my website, which is fredmoskowitz.com. Or if you prefer a little bit of an easier spelling, I know it's tricky, just go to giftfromfred.com and sign up there, and I'll send you that special report. And another way to connect with me is through text message. You can text the keyword money to the phone number 215-461-4433 and then follow the prompts. But I always love connecting with investors, building relationships. It's what I do. And I look forward to connecting with you soon.
Thanks for that, Fred. And folks, if you're driving or doing this, you know, on the road, don't be unsafe. This is going to be right in the show notes for your clicking pleasure. So, you know, you can text them at the number or visit those links, which we will have in the show notes for you right there to go claim those free gifts. Check out that book. You know, it sounds like a fantastic one. And we'll link to Amazon on it there as well. So Fred, last question of the day here at Quattro, you know, which is the sponsor of the Real Estate Runway podcast. We focus on four pillars in life. One of them is people coming together around property to create profits, some of which is used for philanthropy, coming back and taking care of people. So talking about philanthropy, you know, how is it that you do good while you do well in this world by giving of your time, your talents, your treasures? You know, what's on your heart there?
Yeah, I love this question. Really, for me, I'm inspired to give back, to make an impact. So many people have helped me along my investment journey. And so that's why I want to do the same through my body of work, through speaking and speaking at events and teaching, sharing some of these ideas and concepts about financial literacy and about building wealth. It's something that's not taught in schools. And so really we have to learn by pursuing that education. And so that's something I always love sharing about and dedicating time towards it. And it's very rewarding. It really is. And, you know, one of the best things that happens is people reach out to me to say, hey, I use this technique, this idea that you taught, and it had a good result for me. And so when you see that, that's where you can see that every action that you do has a positive ripple effect there. And that's wonderful.
We're going to stop it right there, Fred. Thank you for coming on the show today. Folks, if you got any value out of what we just said, speaking of giving back, pay it forward. Share this show with someone else, this episode with someone else who you know would appreciate it. Like it, subscribe, swipe it, whatever you're watching this on. We're on all the platforms. Just interact with it. This is totally organic growth, and pay it forward to someone just like you. Fred, thank you for coming on the show, providing some of insight into your strategy, and just being a light for, you know, doing good and giving back in the world. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Chad. Thank you.
All right, everyone. This has been another episode of the Real Estate Runway Podcast. Until next time, over and out.
We hope this episode was insightful and brought value to your day. If so, please be awesome and leave us a 5-star review. Find out how Team Quattro can help you at thequattroway.com. Until next time, this is the Real Estate Runway Podcast.